listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah. take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. Here's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com, the number one black podcast, radio podcast in the nation. That's right, number one Black Talk Radio Network. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. When you go on that page, go to the way to the end of other programs. And once you click on that and the drop, the first one is African Perspectives. We're putting content on there as we speak, trying to make sure we can make that happen. It is Friday. And I want to talk about a number of things today. So let's get ready for these announcements so we can get into the discussion. That's right, African Perspectives, here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. From 1 to 3, the Black People Matrix on Monday and Wednesday with my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones. Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. After Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10, it's Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, it's time for an awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening. Every Friday from 8 until... Tomorrow, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Sister POC, once again with Revive. And then on Sunday evening, 7 p.m. on Sunday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Other things that we promote here on African Perspectives is We Buy Black. In fact, We Buy Black, I got to get a hold of them. They have a conference coming up. I want to make sure you get the details, get the brother on the line. WeBuyBlack.com, get everything you need, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. In fact, you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses by going to WeBuyBlack.com. And if you are in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. And so you can pick up the laundry detergents, the batteries, the plethora of things, lotions, deodorant, creams, toothpaste, toothbrushes. I don't know, I can go on. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tahimba has taken a group of our brothers and sisters to Ghana this past May 22nd to June 4th, a great trip. Many of the people who went had a chance to see Garvey Town and some other things, to go from Accra to Cape Coast and Omida Dungeons, and then one Africa, and then over to the Ancestral Wall and probably to Kumasi and just all around. It's a great trip. And he's going again. First, he's going to South Africa, November 22nd to December 2nd. November 22nd to December 2nd, he's going to Johannesburg and Cape Town. And then he's going at the end of December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, he's going to Ghana once again. So that's AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go online and check it out. If you want to give my good brother a call, 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Brother Bomani Tahimba. And, but of course, if you want to see photos from previous tours, Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video of previous tours, YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End in Atlanta. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and on Sunday from 1 to 3. It is closed on Monday and Tuesday. And, of course, it is located here in the West End. And the number to call to Shrine of the Black Madonna is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They have clothes. They have furniture. They have books. They have artwork. They have the red, black, and green shoes, Kwanzaa kits, you name it. They also have an African Holocaust Museum at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They also have a class, Know Thyself, every Saturday, tomorrow, free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30. They have a multimedia presentation, but if you can't make it, but you like the multimedia library, you can purchase it from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. That's right. This is the most extensive cultural library of its kind, with over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books, and of course it is currently over 4.5 terabytes of pure African enlightenment, and you can purchase that at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The other bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall is the Meddu Bookstore. Meddu, of course, means writings. And, of course, the Greeks called it hieroglyphs, but it was the Meddu Nature. The Meddu Bookstore in Atlanta. The number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And that is the Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Open Monday through Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 9 and on Sunday from 12 to 6. And they have a kiosk. Excuse me. The kiosk of We Buy Black is right next to the bookstore. So you can't miss either one. So you get your stuff from the We Buy Black and then go into the bookstore. And of course, if they don't have the book you're looking for, they'll get it. Of course, my good brother, Brother Kazinde Ajamu, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 404-519-8107. He also has the red, black, and green shoes and a number of books. And, of course, if you're out that way or tend to come out that way, please go check my good brother out at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, because there is light in the Black Dot. On Thursday evenings, Us Lifting Us, the Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. every Thursday night. Last night, they had a broadcast, and the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 at 9 p.m. on Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio, and that is Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, pulling our monies together to do for ourselves. And, of course, we've done that, and we created Cafe Ulu, located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza here in Atlanta. We have coffee. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. That's what it is. I know we have some changing of our hours, so I'm getting those straight. And then, of course, Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. And we have coffee. We have coffee from the motherland. Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, where coffee was originated. We have coffee. So please check us out. Go online at cafeulu.com and purchase coffee or any other things that we make, because everything that we do have at Cafe Ulu is made by us. It is truly us lifting us. And one of the things is Ambrosia, the delicious vitality drink, the drink of the gods. Made by my good brother, Brother Novak Young, Ambrosia. Akaban Institute, Brother Baba Mwali and Yabarudi,
the school that they've had for many years, educating our children, totally independent, totally independent. Akabin Institute, please make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you use Cash App or PayPal, use the dollar sign and YAAMBARUTI, and then you can send your monies through Cash App and PayPal. That's right. If you heard the program on Wednesday, I talked to a lovely sister from Haiti. She is doing great work. I'm going to be promoting her as well. That is Sister Gabrielle Ariel, out of Haiti. And the organization to check out online is Sanjay Haiti, Sonje-Haiti, AYITI.org. Check it out. And the great work she's doing. She's working with young people in the rural area. And as you would know, that a lot of times the people in the rural area, they suffer tremendously because of lack of resources that come to those areas. You know, maybe not have electricity, running water, and so forth. And she is doing tremendous work. This sister truly needs to be supported. So I will be talking about her as time, from time to time as well, and what she's doing. Let me get disaster awareness for community preparedness. That's right, every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6, from 4 to 6 Eastern Time, disaster awareness for community preparedness. My good brother, Brother Youssef Muhammad. The number to call is Block Talk, 563-999-3089. 536-999-3089. Disaster awareness for community preparedness. I was on this program this past Friday. We were in New Orleans at the EDI, Executive Development, the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute. Had a great time with our brothers and sisters. Some really fantastic people. The whole array of what we do is just fantastic. We're the only public service professionals that train its members, train brothers and sisters for management positions, train them. I know we've done a damn good job because there's a lot of people promoted and running fire departments, but it's in the entry level at this time because these are public works jobs, and unfortunately there's some municipalities or cities or whatever that have gone back to hiring as they did in the 50s. I kid you not. And the cities are more us, but yet we're not reflected in the fire service, and that's a serious issue. More to be discussed on that at another time. Juneteenth, this weekend here in Atlanta. If you are in the Atlanta area, you can go online and look up JuneteenthATL.com. JuneteenthATL.com and show you the schedules and the parade, the fireworks, and there's so many positive things that are happening. It's just going to be a fantastic time. The hours of the event today from 2 to 9, tomorrow and Sunday from 10 to 10. There's fireworks, all kinds of the parade. Starts at 10 on Saturday. The parade starts at 10 on Saturday. I'm not sure where the route, but everything goes to the stadium, to Mercedes-Benz Stadium in that area where it's now the Home Depot Park, and that's where it is. So when you, look at the tells you where the parking is, the Home Depot Big Backyard, and the parking is in their gold and red deck. I'm not sure what the cost of the parking is, but that's where you can park at. But because the event is free, so don't pay for the parking, brothers and sisters, because the event and all the things that are happening, it is free. The entertainment that they're going to have, the food and so forth, all of it is free. Juneteenth Day, acknowledging 400 years from 1619 to 2019. And, of course, Juneteenth Day has been celebrated here for a number of years. I know that in Milwaukee, my good friend, Brother Mac Weddle, who is retiring from the Northcott Neighborhood House, has put on Juneteenth on the day with Northcott Neighborhood House, Sister Jan Kemp and Joe Winston, their ancestors, but they established Juneteenth Day. And I think I have to be around 1967 or eight. And only time I missed those Juneteenth days when I was in Milwaukee, I had to work and I couldn't get off. I had to work. I had to work at the fire station. I couldn't get off. Otherwise, I was off. Or then later on when I could get off because I could make a trade or whatever, I was out of town. But I never missed Juneteenth Day. I never missed the opportunity to be amongst our people. And, of course, the Brotherhood of Firefighters, Milwaukee Brotherhood of Firefighters, we've always marched in the parade that they have on Juneteenth. We always had an engine or a truck and a firefighter presence there. So, and I'm quite sure they'll have the same thing here. So I'm looking forward to getting my act together as soon as I'm off the air at 1 o'clock and getting myself down to Juneteenth Day here in Atlanta. And so check that out. Go online and check that out. Juneteenth. Juneteenth Day here in Atlanta. I'm going to read from the Inye Sesim because I've been off a while, as you know, and I want to make sure I get in. Because, you know, the Inye Sesim has a lot of gems. I mean some real gems. Brother Baba Baruti is just on point. I guess if you are a cultural nationalist, I guess if you are a Pan-Africanist, I guess if you really believe in independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, then what he is saying and what he is writing is hitting your heart, expanding your mind, because it is where we must go. I know you don't like it, but it is. If we are to be a people, it is where we must go. We must be free and independent. We must be able to be self-determining to do for ourselves. We must get out of the madness. And I know a lot of people don't believe that we can, but we must. So I'm going to, since I missed a lot, I did read the last two, I think the 11th and June 11th and 12th. So I'm going to start. I just picked out a few that are truly gems. And we're going to talk about a number of things. And there's another piece that I see on the Facebook piece that Baba Baruti sent out. So I'm going to be doing that. I got a caller. Caller 646. Caller, good morning.
Hey, OT, you back on the air, bro.
Did you miss me, Jay?
What's happening to you, man?
Did you miss me, man?
Of course, brother. I wouldn't call you and so elated that you back. Man, I don't even know how long it's been.
I know, dude. Oh, you know, it's almost 2 weeks, man. Yeah, but
well,
I.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, well, you know, I ain't lying. You know, I don't lie anyway, especially to my people. I caught bronchitis when I was in New Orleans, man. And I don't know if it was because of the hot, humid weather and then going into those cold buildings, you know. But, hell, I'm the only one, so I ain't going to let that happen to me again. I'm going to boost my immune system, man, because that wasn't nice at all. I couldn't get no sleep. I'm full of mucus and so forth. And I bought all the good stuff, Jay, over-the-counter good stuff, man. I thought I was going to be all right. I wasn't. I wound up going to the doctor, seeing my doctor on Monday. I didn't broadcast Monday. I did broadcast Wednesday, and I had a beautiful sister from Haiti on who's doing fantastic
work. Yeah, I heard some of the show, man.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you're all right. Did you enjoy New Orleans?
Oh, yeah.
Other than getting sick?
Oh, of course. I love it. I love it. You know, didn't get a chance to get out too much because of the things that I do at the Institute on campus at Dillard University. And, of course, I've been to New Orleans so many times. I've, like, been there, done that. But had a great time. Had some good food. It's always great, man. You know, New Orleans is an interesting vibe because of the history, you know. And
I was there only once. I went to Essence.
Oh, you went to Essence, yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe 10, 15 years ago, I think it was.
Sure.
And it was a plethora of Negro peas. It was,
yeah.
To be honest with you, I didn't really, I didn't really like it that much. The only reason I went was because my old lady wanted to go.
Right.
And, you know, to be truthful with you, it's not my type of vibe because it's just spineless Negroes entertaining, you know, other spineless Negroes that just don't do nothing for me.
Well, you know.
But listen, I want to ask you something right sure. quick. Did you see the documentary, The Black Godfather, on Netflix?
No, I did not.
Brother, listen to me. If you get an opportunity and you got 2 hours this weekend, I want you to check that out.
Okay.
Because let me say this to you. Once you see it and once you analyze it from an African perspective, you're going to really see what a gatekeeper and a Negro black face really is.
Okay. The black guy.
Because, you know, they talk about he's one of the most powerful.
Right. In business, in entertainment. Right.
In America.
Right. He was in entertainment, right? He was in
entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, politics too.
Okay.
Politics too. He's responsible, they say, for a lot of behind the scenes things.
Okay.
But I always say this. With all of that so-called power that Negro have, what position is black people in the industry? Entertainment.
Exactly. Still in a subservient position. Still in
a subservient position. Do they own anything?
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you really put that Negro into context, he ain't sugar, honey, iced tea, as far as I'm concerned. Because here it is, you haven't built an institution to where as black people control it, and whereby they're competing on a certain level with the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wish you watch it and really, really put it into its.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jay,
I'll
do that. I'll watch it this weekend and we'll discuss it.
Okay? I think it'll really be beneficial to the community to understand how we lack real power in this country.
Right.
And we lack direction on where we should be going in this country as a people. Because for him to be supposedly in the position that he is, to have influenced so many people, and to do nothing but really influence them in being nothing but capitulators of whiteness, then he ain't sugar, honey, iced tea.
Yeah.
To really put it as it is. Because if he was that powerful, he would have built black institutions that we would have controlled and that we really wouldn't have been in a position to do something for our people and not allow the music industry to destroy us in the manner in which it has.
Right.
Because that's what it's really done to us as a people. It's made us into degenerates.
It's crazy. I'm going to do that, and we'll have a good discussion on that on Monday.
Well, look, Oshie, let me get back to you later.
Okay, do that.
Call and say hello to you
and
tell you how good it is. I know Ralph is out there. I know others are out there listening to you.
Yeah.
So I'll get back to you in the second
hour, my
brother.
Peace to you. Otep. The Inye Sesim. The book of Calendar Revolutionary Daily Thoughts. And like I said, there are some gems that I, because I was gone, that I like to go over. You know, what the people have said, the quotes that they have, and then Baba Baruti's response are just outstanding. You know, so we'll deal with one. June 1st. There are other ways to kill a people or colonize them, but none is more certain than the denial or control of their food. Samyet. What would you do if you woke up in the dead of winter to find all the grocery stores, co-ops, farmers markets, restaurants in your community closed and unassailable, impenetrable, heavily guarded, well erected a wall erected around it. What would you do if this wall separated you from water, gas, and electricity, from hospitals, pharmacy outlets, fire rescue and other social services, schools and relatives, but not churches or liquor stores, malls, cable, drug dealers, nightclubs, casinos, and police brutality? What would you do if your family was starving, but those who built the wall would give you and yours a few slices of bacon, some stale bread, and a choice of whatever overseer driver position you desire on the plantation that they were establishing right outside the wall? If only you would help turn your people away from rebellion and convince them to accept re-enslavement, recaptivity in exchange for food. What would you do if they intensified the dropping of poisons from helicopters onto urban gardens for fear of us refusing to consume only their nutritional-sided products? What would you do if, after completing the job of poisoning our remaining arable plots, they decided they would rather keep their food than take our money because the quality and quantity of edible and digestible substances have become worse and made scarce? What would you do if they decided we were not worth feeding anymore? Affirm, I grow, prepare, and protect my own food. Affirm, I grow and prepare and protect my own food. Look up the King Alpha Plan and the McCarran Act. Pretty much follows what we talked about with the COINTELPRO. When we say this is our community, we have no community. We have no sovereignty. We have no independence, no self-determination. We don't own nothing. We don't control nothing. We have no neighborhood. Well, sure in the hell don't have no neighbors. We got a hood, but it's not controlled by us. In the McCarran Act, if there was going to be an insurrection, they would cut off the power, cut off the gas, cut out the lights, cut off everything, isolate you, and then begin to move on you. This is real. This is possible. Yes, it sounds hypothetical, but it's possible. And to me, considering the mind of the European and what he has done and what he's willing to do to maintain and sustain the privilege that they created for themselves, I put nothing past them to do something of this magnitude. That's why I'm saying, brothers and sisters, it's either accept mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual death through the European, or the liberation through African sovereignty. It's either or. There's no gray area. There's no straddling the fence. There's no gray area. They could do it. You don't get liberated through morality. You get liberated through power. Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael. Kwame Ture. In order for us to be liberated through power, and understand what power is, and I've said this many times on the program, power is not politics. Power is not money. Power is not education or information. Power is none of that. The politics is BS. As you know, that we have more people in politics today than we ever have, and our condition as a collective people is worse than it ever been. Politics ain't money. The money that these Caucasians have is backed up by nothing but their word, which is the ability to kill your ass. It's not backed up by gold, although they have plenty of gold. I think they have the most gold in any country. The most gold is in the hands of Europeans, but it didn't come from Europeans. It came from Africa. Power is not education or information. Because if the education information you are receiving is flawed and inaccurate, and you know that it is, no, it's not power. Power, this is Dr. Wade Nobles, and I think this is the most definitive definition. Power is the ability to define reality. Power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality. They went around after they came out of that medieval age, dark age, and they warred amongst themselves. He says, hey, whatever we're going to do, we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. And they defined reality. They came into a land and said, this is the reality. We claim this in the name of Spain and Portugal, France, England, whatever. And this is the reality. And if you don't bow down to it, we'll kill you. If you don't agree with the theology we're giving you, we'll kill you. Our mode of governance will kill you. Power, the ability to define reality. The question that we as African people must always ask is, who are we in the Caucasian's reality? Who are we? When the Caucasian came out of yours and started venturing around, and then, of course, capturing us, putting us into servitude, we were soulless people, no culture to speak of. In fact, really justifying our captivity because of exposing us to Western ideas, Western concepts, Western theology, Christianity. And we've accepted his reality as if it's our own. Who are we in their reality today? We're thugs, drug addicts, no fit fathers, no fit mothers. The scourge, justifying our mass incarceration. Because when we were in captivity, oh, we were happy. Many people thought that we were happy to be doing this. In fact, they're using of the Bible. That we were, because of the Ham story, seeing his father Noah naked and not covering it up and telling his brothers, and then his brothers covered up, and then Noah comes out of that drunken stupor and says, ha, you did this to me? I curse you to be the servants unto your brothers. Using that as a justification that we should be in captivity. We should be servants. And we be happy. And they wanted to say we were happy to be servants. But then, of course, through all the rebellions and all the other things that happened, then now we're lazy, we're no good, criminal, rapists, murderers. Oh, yes, we are that today. We're like that on the continent, and we're like that here. Because that's part of the conditioning. That's part of the narrative, as my good brother Franklin Jones reiterates. They have the narrative. They control it. Let me finish. In order for us to deliberate through power, we must be able to identify and master it and distinguish it from influence. Power is the direct, unmitigated exercise of self-determining consciousness, regardless of other objections. It is the uncompromised actualization of one's will into existence with the force that prevents any successful challenge to its fulfillment. There is no questioning conscious or historically grounded, spirit-driven power. Influence, on the other hand, is not power. It is an attempt to alter the opinion or actions of those one considers to be more powerful to their advantage. It is of a lesser breed of potency than power. One cannot exercise influence as a means of forcing one's will. Of the two, only power can be effectively exercised in this way. The exercise or threat of exercising force or violence falls within the domain of power, not influence. Therefore, outside of the intervention of the influencer's charisma, which is unlikely to seriously impact those power holders already well trained in the manipulation, influence in the act of belief and chance, it is an exception of a probability based on the goodwill or the gullibility of power wielders. In the case of Africans relative to Europeans, it is an act of wishful hoping against the record of history. Let me repeat that. In the case of Africans relative to Europeans, it is an act of wishful hoping against the record of history. It is a shameful attempt at a pretense of power which gives the illusion of integrity and substance to a voluntary servitude. Affirm, I will be liberated through my own power. Affirm, I will be liberated through my own power. Wow. June 4th. There is in the world no such force as the force of a man determined to rise. William Edward Burghardt Du Bois. We once existed in a state of ma'at, in sync with the universe and each other. Our decline has been identified with the invading presence of others, skilled in disorder and devoid of civilization, but welcomed by our xenophilic hearts. And we are. We're xenophilic. They're xenophobic. Welcomed by our xenophilic hearts and other gradual force mistaken submissions to their inquisitions and their spiritual side ways. Physical, mental, and spiritual and cultural devastation followed in a rapid succession. For over 3,000 years, fragmentation, poverty, and powerlessness rained down upon our people, giving us ample cause to lose memory. Even so, there were still those among us who refused to accept others' lies about our natural state. There were those of us moving from generation to generation who refused to be de-Africanized. We uncovered and learned what was more than skin deep, as well as what the secrets of our skin held. From this milestone, we began to claim what was inherently ours. Returning to our source, we studied, reconceptualized, and built institutions modeled in the spirit of our ancestors. Our intergenerational rebirth into who we have always been galvanizes us to save ourselves from corruption, self-hating, and menticide. The best of us has realized that culture is the key to sustaining the momentum of this awakening until we have reached and gone beyond the point where we can see no way other than that of our ancestors. Affirm, I am the best of us. Affirmed, I am the best of us. June 5th. We have a right to self-determination. It is a birthright which we need not either justify or explain. Tamin Boya. Self-confidence comes about and is expanded through the demands of initiation. Excuse me. Sometimes you see words, you know the words, and you get tongue-tied, you know, intuitive. What this means is that those individuals who have self-confidence or who want to claim it are those who are willing to take the first step to do something, first as an initial, as well as in before others. Warriors working to develop their confidence select individuals who have mastered what they have not, who have mastered what have not to challenge them. Let me read that again so I could be clear. I don't want to give you misinformation. I just want to give you correct information. Warriors working to develop their confidence select individuals who have mastered what they have not to challenge them. They pick someone they can learn from. Why would we wish to deny our children their birthright to experience a real reality, a challenging one, a self-discovering one? Why would we force a weakening synthetic one on them that drives them to find the easiest way to every end just because we can't take any pain? Why do we refuse to make our children powerful in the only way people have ever done so, through struggle? We must have the confidence to imagine a legion of tempered descendants who would know they can handle anything that confronts them. Now that's power. Those who follow us would have found their infinite potential by having successfully passed the increasingly more difficult tests that we carefully and compassionately place before them. They would intuitively know that can't die long before the ancients were born. They would know they are African. Just as no one is born wise, no one is born with self-confidence. It has to be developed. It has to be nurtured. It takes time. Affirm, I am self-confident as I pursue African liberation. Affirm, I am self-confident as I pursue African liberation. To instill power in them, the ability to define the reality for ourselves, and not to impose it on anybody. We don't want to, that's what the European did. He defined the reality and he imposed it on others. No, we want to define it for ourselves, excluding all others. This is who we are. If there's something we want from you, we'll deal with it. If it's not, get out of our face. get out of our face. June 7th. To manipulate history is to manipulate consciousness. To manipulate consciousness is to manipulate possibilities. And to manipulate possibilities is to manipulate power. Dr. Amos Wilson. In African society, one possessions did not determine the weight of one's voice. All voices were valued. Here, in this reality of only either dominance or powerlessness, the articulation of political truths rests in the hands of the ruling group. Far less politically powerful groups such as us, leaderships have become defined by any individual's ability to manipulate words to make them appear as they are not. The ability to tell bold-faced lies and have others believe them. The ability to champion safe causes, objectives which are mere symptoms of the truth, veiled cause they fear to approach, and the ability to shrewdly oversee the interests of those they worship and are owned by and feared. But the fault is not wholly theirs. Because of our vulnerability and messianic orientation, we become victimized by misleaders who, limited by others, come to us for refuge while full of selfish intent. In docilely following those who are told to speak for us, we too expect and become excited over leaders who talk a good game, who entertain charismatically, who debate well, who have the gift of gab, because we have misdefined the nature of politics and war. Equally dangerous, we operate as if the Western society is fair, and that truth will come to light in that form. Not revolution is needed for us to become victorious. Affirm, I am politically empowered. Affirm, I am politically empowered. You know, the problem, of course, is what we're in, just as Dr. Wilson was saying. The manipulation of the possibilities of words and concepts and so forth. We really don't know as a people. Those of us who are fortunate who have embraced an African consciousness, who believe in African people, who believe in black power, you know, we have that awareness. The mass majority of our people here in this country and around the world. I've been fortunate, brothers and sisters, to go to other places. I don't go to other places as a tourist. I go to other places to see how we, as African people, are living. What's happening with us? The imposition of Europeans and the colonization of Europeans and the imposing of their governments, particularly their religion, has had a devastating effect on us. Devastating. And it's going to be very hard. But it doesn't take the masses. It takes a few of us who are willing to go out there and to be and to help younger people who are the real warriors. No, man, I ain't fighting nobody. Not physically, because, I mean, I'll give my life for our cause. And that's for real. Somebody asked me, man, you love basketball. You love, would you give that up? I give it up in a damn heartbeat. I wouldn't watch it. If they say, if you don't watch no more NBA and NFL and blah, 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 boxing, whatever, and you would, your people would be liberated, I'd give it up in a heartbeat. June 9th. The success of our oppressors is evident in our amnesia. Eric Bozeman. As warriors and spiritual beings holding the most profound honor and reverence for the spirit of those who died for us in the Middle Passage, so-called Middle Passage, we have to bring our African minds to visualize the Kemetic Ocean as our largest shrine. We have to apprehend and appreciate this great body of water because it contains the greatest concentration of ancestral emotional content of our restless warrior spirit. Therefore, we must make it a place where we go to wade, pray, meditate, pour libation, make offerings, cry out for ancestral strength in our battle for righteous justice. To do this, we have to again become those who involuntarily and consciously and unconsciously participate in the creation of this living shrine, a shrine of water, of untold amounts of the substance we cannot live without. Shrines do not just appear. They are human identifications of sacred spaces where the connection with the creator, deities, and ancestors are closest. Only then can we go inside a mind so damaged by fear that it thrives on forgetfulness and insanity. Repeat. Only then can we go inside a mind so damaged by fear that it thrives on forgetfulness and insanity. For only then we would be able to understand why people would leave one of its most important shrines unattended, even forgotten, for scores of generations has spiritual energy within its simmer, raging, waiting. Remembrance gives us life, force, and power. Remembrance gives us life, force, and power. Affirm, I have no amnesia about our Ma'afa, our Infakani, the middle passage. I have no amnesia. June 10th. Our objective is the destruction of the evil system of global Europe. And this is what, you know, he says, the writer, Heru Anke Sebek, he says of global white supremacy, and of course you listen to this program, you know I don't use white supremacy. I use European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. Our objective in the destruction of the evil system of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, and the reassertion of our right to self-determination and the resurrection of divine humanity that we brought to the world in the beginning. Heru Ankh Sebek. Victory is in the hands guided by minds of those warriors who have already won. If you come to court, field, or board full of apprehension and doubt because of your opponent's record or fabricated reputation, then you have already lost. If you are weary of battle, even though the war has yet to be won, and allow the enemy's propaganda of their progress and righteousness to seep in and affect your morale, you have already begun the process of self-defeat. Warriors must be ever vigilant of every thought entering their conscious and subconscious mind. Man, that's what I'm saying to you. Every day. I ain't saying be tripping, but every day, stand up. Every day, think. Every day, internalize. Every day, if you have to purge yourself of the ignorance, of the stupidity, of the self-doubt, self-hatred, every day. Words must be ever vigilant of every thought entering their conscious and subconscious mind. For weak, indulgent, indecisive, defeatist thinking leads to easy defeat. No matter the odds, no matter duration in battle, no matter the difficulty, only the strength given through heartfelt courage brings victory. No matter the odds, no matter the duration in battle, no matter the difficulty, only the strength given through heartfelt courage brings victory. Affirm, I'm ever vigilant of every thought entering my mind. Affirm, I am very vigilant in every thought entering my mind. June 13th. We told them to leave us alone and keep away from us. They followed on and beset our paths, and they coiled themselves amongst us like the snake. They poisoned us with their touch. Chief Blackhawk. However measured, Urugu is the most immoral, unethical, and corrosive agent on this planet. Everything they touch is poison, and nothing they encounter is left unscathed. If what they contaminate lives, it becomes so chronically diseased and disfigured that it cannot be distinguished from the vile parasite that infected it. The European cultural acidity cannot hide its need to have and control all. Western terrorism and its projection of its terroristic mentality on others reflects their innate intolerance of fair competition and difference. They will have all, or they will try to destroy everything. They understood only that which is stated and enacted in their own violent, abrasive language. When we study the historical record, their toxic expansion is abundantly clear. We know that asking them to keep their disease to themselves does not work, for they need to project themselves into others in order to become defined as human. It is this, a self-serving portrayal that projects the illusion that there is a workable solution within the world. Listen, please, brothers and sisters. It is this, a self-serving portrayal that projects the illusion that there is a workable solution within the Western cultural context that would not call for the total dismantling of European culture. It is the only way. But they want you to believe that the only solution is working through them. But knowing this terroristic way of being is biologically and culturally infused, we need to ask if it is even possible for Europeans to exist outside of the European culture and the global reality they have imposed on everyone else. Affirm, I know the cause of our making war. Affirm, I know the cause of our making war. Today, June 14th, I wish I could wrap my people up and fly away with them. Ida B. Wells, Barnett. What makes being African such a difficult concept and way of life is not so much the problem of identifying who as a people we are in thought and practice, as it is in trying to find ways to instill and implement these compromise core African traditions in this contemporary, insane, self-absorbed, anti-African reality. To make ourselves take the logical steps backward in order to progressively and more beneficially move forward from a position of African power, and knowing is beyond the cognitive possibilities of most of us in the first place in time. Nevertheless, those of us who have consciously made the choice to be African, embracing all that it means, no matter what time or place we exist in it, direction requires that we seriously reconceptualize what we have misguidingly learned to believe is African because we have been forced to look at our ancestors through a Eurocentric cultural lens. Serious definitions of what our ancestors were and were not as human beings requires fearless, willing minds which are truly open to earnest answers to some of the very weighty questions about exactly who we should and should not be. In that African intellectual space, there is no fence to straddle, no gray area. There are only others, lies, and our truth. There is no other way. There's no gray area, no straddling the fence. To be African or not to be is the question. Affirm, I define what it means to be African only through the mind of my ancestors. Affirm, I define what it means to be African only through the mind of my ancestors. June 15th. There is an anger that makes up in you when you are a child, and it builds up and determines the political consciousness of the African man, Winnie Mandela. Europeans are quite clear as to the threat of our ever-rising consciousness to their empire. Their military operate in a fashion that is systematically subvert, reduced, and, where possible, permanently remove this threat. They operate on the principle of reducing threats by removing their sources. If there are no dissents, then there is no threat. And even though their public displays of this violence against humanity are beyond moral reason, covertly they do even more damage in their effort to gain a future numerical advantage. They know what they do now will determine whether they find themselves later in the global power game of power and privilege. It's called strategic planning. Every successful military force does this. They think about the fact that when you're a young African male or female is murdered, he or she is not only the one being murdered. Every individual that person was ever to produce through the end of the line of his or her generations is murdered. In the long run, this is a hidden genocidal acceleration because this is intergenerational genocide does not show up in the statistics. That means you are cut off. Here, genocide is not even detected or defined as such because those who are murdered were never born. Those who work this evil against us know to poison the roots. Eradicate and poison the roots. Affirm, I am politically awake. Affirm, I am politically awake, and I know what time it is. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. There's some gems in there, brothers and sisters, some real gems in there. You know, we'll talk more. I got some more stuff to give us, and you can join this conversation. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Got some good music. Gonna pump it up. It's Friday. Always like to have some live music on Friday. Gonna give you Al Hudson in One Way, Mr. Groove, and followed by Quincy Jones, Body Heat. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. Stay with us. Be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media. Part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Please, Mr. Groove, won't you come back home? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Hey. Thank you.
Sisters, it ain't over yet. It ain't over.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. A quick rundown of other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Following on Mondays and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. On Mondays and Wednesdays from 1 to 3, Black People Matrix. Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. And on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Fridays, if it's 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, sometimes And please, if you want to join this conversation, give me a call. I know some want to, but may not have what they feel they should have to deal with the conversation. My contention is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We have to deal with it. Baba Baruti came up with a family mission statement for the complementarity of thoughts of brothers and sisters coming together and joining forces and either making a serious commitment, a marriage commitment, or commitment to be one, because there's only one way for Africans to get up out of this muck and mire is family. And family is a man and a woman and children working together. Family. I'm not going to argue whether somebody who is homosexual cannot be in the African-centered movement. But damn it, that's not an issue. That's your business. Keep that business to yourself. If you are serious about African liberation, African self-determination, African sovereignty, then that's the only fight. It's the only fight. It's the only issue. Keep it to yourself. Our family mission statement, number one, we will remove all contradictions between what we think and speak as Africans and what we do as African. Remove all contradictions. This is the way. This is our way. This is the ancestral way. There's no contradictions. This is it. Number two, we will unconditionally love and support one another. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. We need each other. Number three, we will every day in all ways elevate and emphasize the spiritual and intellectual over the material. But we live in America. America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. You are bombarded 24/7 with it, every day with it. You feel it's more important about you and yours as opposed to anybody else. And to hell with me and mine. That's the sickness of this system. But that's what we need to do. Elevate to emphasize the spiritual and intellectual over the material. We will rear our Watoto. Watoto is children. Watoto is children. We will rear our Watoto in the African way without compromise. Number five, we will work toward cultural and social, including economic, educational, and military independence. Number six, we will master the skills required for self-sufficiency. Number seven, we will work to mentally and physically liberate African people. We will work to mentally and physically liberate African people. Number eight,
We'll acknowledge our ancestors and live by their wisdom. Number 9, we will protect all African Watoto, remembering it takes a whole village to rear our Watoto. It takes a village to raise a child. And these children are sacred in our future. Look at our children in this country. Look at our children around the world. Number 10, we will embrace our heritage by reclaiming an African name, language, and spiritual system. Number 11, and as African scholars, we will never forget our enemies, regardless of color, our enemies that are within and truly those that are without. We have enemies, unfortunately, within. We know the enemy without. That has been revealed. There's so many of gems that this brother has put out that if you are an African-centered person, when you hear them, you know it touches you. It inspires you. It motivates you in spite of how bad it is, how bad it looks. Some in our communities have vested interest in not being African. A lot of our people don't want to be African. You even had that group who talking about we're not African, we're indigenous. There were no African slave ships. We, you know, as if they evolved here in this land, unconnected. They're indigenous, we're not African. There were no slave ships. Where they at? What happened to them? All of that. It was crazy. But they're still out there, and there's still brothers and sisters who believe that. So the idea that finding meaningful and compatible differences among Africans only serves to further divide and weaken us, but it does not take into account the fact that there are people within our group who must be routed out in order for us to make African progress and eventually become one. It misses the point that this is already the case and has been for quite some time now. You cut the infectious animal from the herd. So you get rid of all the weakness, all the crying and whining, all the stupidity, all those brothers and sisters who want to capitulate and acquiesce to the European, to the Urugu. You don't keep it there just for numbers. Progress cannot occur by embracing enemies within. The need to include everybody in our war, especially those who boast about subsisting in the deepest states of menticide, who hate the idea that someone might think that somewhere in them there might be anything recognizable as African, is extremely problematic. If we have to get over anything, it is the idea that it is necessary to bring everybody into the fold in order to win. This is the diversity scam working its finest magic on the minds of those Africans seeking an easy way to peace. It is the idea that everyone of African descent must be brought into the decision-making fold because we think we are a democratic family, intentionally forcing us to overlook the fact there are those in our family who hate us. There are those in my family who just couldn't believe the things that I've done. And why did I do that? There are many people in my family and in the community, but I stand proud. I stand strong because the ancestors have touched me and they tell me it is the way, the only way that we as African people will survive is to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. The diversity scam operates on the principle that you cannot make revolutionary progress without someone included, or everyone included, you know. It is also easy to become completely misdirected when believing that everybody must be together in order to return home. No, you don't have to. You be the example. You be the example. We have a lot of work to do, brothers and sisters. And the work is finding those like-minded brothers and sisters and gravitating with them, helping them build, helping them to get stronger, supporting them. That's the work. Everything else is really is moot. It's trivial. That's why I say on this program, we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Everything else is, it's not a discussion. If you're not, and I don't want to engage in a debate with another African about whether or not we should be that. That is ludicrous. That is crazy. What I want to be in to discuss is how do we achieve it? What are the things that we need to do? How can we work together to make it happen? How can we make our people believe in themselves and one another and embrace that concept? That's what needs to be discussed. I got some callers. Let me take this call. 602. 602.
Good morning. Good afternoon, my brother Oshie.
Marcus, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, good brother. Good to have you back on the air. We certainly miss you, good brother.
Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. So I want to just talk a little bit about this African Free Trade Agreement that the Africa just signed. They said 52 out of the 55 countries signed the agreement, with the exception of Benin, Nigeria and Eritrea, you know.
Okay.
And I think, yeah, and I said, Nigeria, they always been a reactionary group.
Yeah.
I don't know why they can't fall in line. Nigeria,
yeah.
Why is it, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, Marcus, must be that mentality they have. They always want to believe they are smarter than everybody else, you know.
Yes. I wonder, you know, but anyway, you know, that free trade agreement, you know, that's going to open up Africa even more.
Right.
You know, because, and the thing about it, Africa is going to need that infrastructure, you see? Because
right.
If they have trade now, they're going to have rail, they're going to have telecommunication line, going to have to have roads, lighting.
Right.
So all of that is presents opportunity for us here in the West too.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we can bring our skills and our capital to help Africa move in that direction.
Right.
So, you know, I hope that our people can pivot towards that, because that is another opportunity for our people to move ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I just really hope our people can see the light, and, you know, because this place is the bottom, eventually going to fall out of this place.
No, and it is, and you're right.
It can't stand.
It can't stand the way that it is. You can't have massive human inequality and maintain when all the while it is always about more, 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 and more. You can't have that. You know,
yeah.
And for me, I look at our people getting out, getting out of it, as opposed to trying to deal with it and stay in it and hoping there's a comfortable corner or a comfortable niche for us to be in it. It ain't.
Nope, you're correct. There's no comfortable niche in the nut house.
That's
you know,
right.
We have to get
That's right.
out of the nut house. You know,
yep.
So, you know, I am proud that the African the leadership said, look, you know, we have to make a move. Although the IMF and the European Union tell them no,
yes,
you shouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? But then if trade between Asia works for them, and trade between Europe work for them, why the hell trade between Africa countries ain't going to work for us?
But see, because, because they want Africa divided. They want Africa at each other. They want Africa impotent and weak. They want to rape Africa of its resources. They want to get them cheaply. That's why they're afraid of
blood.
Yeah, they're afraid of a true united Africa. Yes. That's why, and that's why I hope that, you know, when, you know, that's why I was saying back last month on May 25th, African Liberation Day should be the most important day for us as African people to acknowledge and to celebrate, or more importantly, to begin to develop, to begin to make happen African liberation literally on the continent and anywhere in the diaspora, because once we are liberated in that extent that nobody can tell us, the IMF, the World Bank, European Union, damn nobody, the Chinese, the Arabs, ain't nobody can tell us a damn thing.
Exactly, my brother.
You know?
Exactly.
Only when we come to realize that, you know? And unfortunately, we've had such misleadership, and the leadership on the African continent has been so weak and corrupt, and neo-colonialists and puppet governments and so forth, you know, at the expense of the people. It's a damn shame. And so to me, they must develop a cadre of leadership that speaks to Africa being independent, Africa being sovereign. There has to come that leadership. You know, it's not there now. That's for damn sure. But it must take place, because if it doesn't take place, we are doomed. But I believe in African redemption. I believe in African reacclimation. I believe it, you know, and whatever I do to make it happen, I will do.
Yes, my brother. Well, good to have you back on the ear, good brother.
Thank you.
Definitely keep on listening. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Brother Marcus. You enjoy this. You enjoy this weekend. I don't know if they have Juneteenth Day going on there in Memphis, but if they do, enjoy it. Okay.
Yeah, they're rioting down here, brother. They was.
Oh yeah, I know. Right. That's right. They're rioting now. Help me out just quickly, Brother Marcus. The young man. Now, what were they rioting because the police just killed him? Because based upon the information I received, the young man had done some horrible things. So what is the story?
According to what they said, the U.S. Marshal came, and the young brother, they said, had went to Mississippi and was looking to buy a car from somebody, and apparently shot the person. See? And then the person identified him as the shooter, because the person didn't die. So the Mississippi, they didn't have the extradition or whatever, the authority to come and arrest him here. So they sent the U.S. Marshal to get him. So according to what they say, when the marshal pulled up, they saw the car, and the young brother tried to ram them with the car, and then he got out of the car with a pistol. Then they shot him 20 times. So that's what caused the eruption in the community. So
the fact they shot him 20 times, or the fact they shot him at all?
Yes, the fact that they shot him, that the U.S. Marshal came here and shot him 20 times and killed him, So that's what we're hearing, but we don't really know, because the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, they are investigating too, but look, the people frustrated,
right?
People frustrated, my brother, because so much incidents have happened with the
it boils over.
Shot.
When I was in Milwaukee about 4 years ago, visiting, and the tension was in the air. The tension was in the air, and this happened. I was there. The following week or two, it erupted. And I sensed it, because I was talking with one of the brothers that I know, and, a lot of bad vibe, And so then a police officer killed this one brother, chased him down, and shot him. And because of that particular incident, the city erupted. There were disturbances in various pockets of the city, because what it is that it's a frustration. It's not the fact that that one individual, because even though that one person that you just described, the guy's terrible. He had a terrible wreck. He killed somebody in Mississippi to steal a car, you know? So we're not battling the police over his ass. Just like, no, we don't, you know, yeah. In fact, he deserves to be incarcerated. I don't think he deserves to be shot 26 times. But then again, you know, if you try to kill somebody and you got a gun and you pull, hell, the police love for you to pull a gun. They can't wait to load your ass up with bullets. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Well, I was listening to the local radio station here this morning and everybody blaming, they're blaming the youth. But I said, look, you know, in Memphis is a predominantly black city,
right.
70% black. But black people control less than 1% of the economy.
Yeah.
Less than 1% of the businesses. So they create the conditions that create crime. The power that be create the conditions that cause crime, and then they point and say, you see, those people are there, criminals.
Right.
Yes, they would. Why wouldn't they be criminals? Because they create the conditions that create criminals.
That's right.
You see? So,
that's right. They do it. It is them.
They do it.
They do it.
Exactly. So, but then they blame the victim.
That's right.
Blame you. You're the one who did it. See, you're the criminal. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And so then, because they blame the victim, we blame ourselves. We blame each other.
Exactly.
We instill a hatred for each other. You know?
That's all I heard this morning on the radio is these Negroes coming out and, young people, they ain't doing this. Oh, they ain't doing that. Oh, they're the worst. You know? I said, wow. You know? So,
who's responsible? Anyway, who's responsible for the development of young people? Adults.
Exactly.
Parents.
Exactly.
Society. Exactly. No. You got to understand how this thing happens. It ain't new. This has been happening to us almost since our inception here. These folks have a method of control. These folks have a design to do what they're doing. This doesn't happen by happenstance. This ain't, no, this is intent. This is deliberate.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And I tell you, it's a lucky thing that they have a police department that is predominantly black here, or else you would have probably had a different response.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
It's a lucky thing the police commissioner, he's our son of the soil here in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he didn't unleash the police.
Good.
Good. You know, so. Anyway, good brother. Thank you so much.
All right, Brother Marcus. You enjoy this weekend. I hope it's safe, my brother.
You too, good brother.
All right. Hope it's safe. Mm-hmm. All right. 646-646, good afternoon.
Yeah, Oshi, man, listen, you know, the more and more you read the work of Bubba Baruti, the more and more you realize that if our people would just follow his leadership and guidance, we could maybe get out of this thing.
Oh, no doubt, because, no doubt.
Honestly, ain't nobody else saying sugar, honey, iced tea.
They ain't.
Where he's going. There's like one or two others. The mm-hmm. brother that wrote I think the name of the book is.
Okay.
Kilimanjaro, I forget his name.
Okay.
TK Kilimanjaro, I think it is. I'm not sure. Excuse me for not saying his name right. He has some good work, and he's like Baruti coming from African-centered way of thinking mm-hmm. and, you know, collectiveness. But, you know, in all truthfulness, Oshi, we as a people, we have no real guidanceship, no real leadership, and no real direction on what we need to do to deal with this Yoruba. And the sad thing is that people that we look up to, they just ain't got it, man, because they looking to take you into whiteness. They're not looking to take you into building your own community. They talk that talk, but they're not really about it. They're not about coming together collectively to educate our children and all of that. That's why whenever I hear somebody talking about letting the beast educate their kids, I know they crazy. I don't even argue with them no more. Because the white man, they never gonna educate your child so that their child can not dominate you. Because why would I teach you to get a job at the expense of my baby? You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean that don't even make logical sense if no. The truth be told.
See,
to make sure that my child is in a position to compete or dominate your child.
But see what you have though, Jay. Unlike Europe itself, what you have here is that they made it seem that this is something special, particularly after they got out of enslavement, out of the captivity of us. They wanted to make this something unique for humanity, that this is a place here in America where human beings can come together and have some kind of equality, some kind of equal opportunity. I always say, you know what, Jay? I've always said, in America, there is opportunity. And this is true. I can't argue that. Is it equal opportunity? Oh, hell no. There will never be equal opportunity. There's opportunity, and opportunity can mean something on the bad side, on the criminal side, or even on the legitimate side. But there's opportunity, but there's never equal opportunity, because the bottom line is we dealing with a people. See, we don't understand their evolutionary development, the mindset that they have. They are selfish and greedy, and they don't want to share. So you think that they would create something that everybody truly has a chance to succeed in? Oh, hell no. And now,
it ain't in their nature.
Yeah, it's not in their nature.
The question is this, Oshie, why should they? Why should they? Why should the white man give your black behind anything? Why should he share anything with you based on what he's done to build this thing up? This is a white man's country.
This is his.
I'm thinking that it's anything other than a white man's country. He enslaved you. He brutalized you to build this up. What makes you think he's going to give this up to you? What did he do to the Native Americans?
Yeah.
He basically eliminated them.
Yep.
Them to the Stockholm Syndrome of all these years, not wanting to, every chance they get, scalp them. A Native American, every chance he gets, he should scalp a Yoruba. For what he did to his ancestors. Let's keep it real, man. We live under this delusion.
That's right.
That if we do certain things, we're going to be treated fairly by this Yoruba. The Yoruba is only going to use you for what your talents present and what he can gain from your talent. Okay, so what, you got millions of dollars? I tell you this, brother, and this is real talk. For all of these so-called rich black Negroes, what do they really have to show for it? What do they really have to show for it to the point to where, I'll give you a prime example, Oprah Winfrey. When that witch die, who do you think will get all that money? The Yoruba. Who do you think going to benefit from all of her wealth? The Yoruba. Do you think that she's put forward trust for African people? Do you think that she's put it in a position, since she has no kids, that all of her money would go to building institutions for black folks, for doing things necessary to make the lives of African Americans better? No. She's going to give her money to making so-called humanity for the Yoruba better. She's going to make sure Yoruba kids always benefit from it. It's just like a Negro who signs the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball contract and become rich as could be, and go out there and marry a Yoruba.
Right.
Who do you think that wealth is going to transfer to?
Exactly.
I mean, we need to really stop playing these mental masturbation games with ourselves about our position in this country and what we're going to do to make this country better. I don't give a damn about this country. If I was to get $1 million tomorrow, I would do everything in my power to make sure that the Yorugu don't get nothing in my death. I would set up trust. I would put forward endowments to whereas it would only go to African people.
I agree.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I agree.
When you think about the money that these crackers, they always, excuse me, these Yorugus talk about donating. How many times do you see a rich Yorugu donating to an African or a black charity other than that nonsense, Save the Children? Come on, man. Stop playing. We play too many games. I mean, just think about it.
You know,
Dr. J gave millions of dollars to USC College. Why couldn't he give that money to black colleges?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we do everything in our power to just give whatever we gain back to the white man. You go out there and you get a degree. What do you basically do? Go beg the daddy for a job. If you become successful, what do? Try to integrate yourself into whiteness at all costs. You can't even name me somebody of wealth and value that has took the time, the energy, or the effort to give a donation to Baba Baruji. Do you understand what a donation to Baba Baruji could do for African people? I'll give you a prime example. They got a black sister named Hahaya Green, I think it is. She's a cancer research specialist that needs $10 million to do a trial to basically cure cancer. Certain forms of cancer. And she don't want to go to a foundation or something of that nature where they control it. Do you think that the black rich and elite would give her that $10 million? Do you think all she should have to do is call Oprah Winfrey or some other rich millionaire and say, look, this is what I have. This is what I need. It's a tax write-off. Do you think those bigos would do that?
When you have...
And this is for white people, too? It's not just for black people. It's for white people, too. But this black woman just wants to control it so that these institutions don't come in and take advantage of it and take advantage of her and then cast out black folks?
And, you know, and $10 million, and if you are a multimillionaire, you have hundreds of millions. Or if you are a billionaire, $10 million, Jay, ain't what? Sugar, honey, iced tea. $10 million ain't sugar. But yet, still, you and I both know that the Cancer Institute and Big Pharmaceutical, they don't want to find no damn cure for nothing. They want to be able to have you treated on a constant basis so you'll always be sick and you'll always be paying for medication. They don't want to cure a damn thing.
But you can't tell that to the average Negro. You can't expose that type of common sense to the Negro. It's like the Negro sometimes don't have no common sense. He lives in this vacuum of if whitey don't say it right, it ain't right. It ain't right. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you get so frustrated just trying to participate in common sense, Oshi. Common practical sense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your people are just more and more and more insane. You know, OC, to tell you the truth, black people will drain the hell out of you. If you don't have love for a man, you could become in a real sinking place. Because I know if I didn't have love for my people, man, I would really be in a sinking, miserable place watching the actions and the behaviors of these people, man.
Yeah.
And we just don't understand it. I mean, too, I got, you know, and this is the thing that killed me. I had a Negro friend on Facebook that you know, read all the scholars, supposedly. Then the lectures and all of that, you know? And when I told that Negro, listen, you don't really want sovereignty. You want to be a part of the system. You just want to regurgitate the nonsense that you read. But you won't even take a minute to read the work of Baba Baruti. I know you're a fraud and you're a phony. Because Baba Baruti is only continuating the work of Dr. Ben.
Right,
and Dr.
all of them.
Clark,
right.
And the other scholars.
That's all he's doing. That's all he's doing.
At a real significant level.
Sure. That's all he's doing. He's doing.
That's all Baba Baruti is doing. And nobody else is doing it in that manner. Now think about this. If you set your grandson down right now, and you had your grandson start to study the works of Baba Baruti by reading his books, I guarantee you in 3 to 4 years, if he has good reading comprehension skills and you giving him the reinforcement with information and things of that nature, the young man will be a monster forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because step by step, Baba Baruti in his works is putting forward the guidelines to which
yes.
we must take.
Yes, he
for
is.
African liberation That's, and sovereignty.
He is.
Nobody else is presenting that type of work. Believe me, I've read a number of books.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to you, if you start with Baba's books and you read Baba's books, man, you're gonna be on fire.
Right. You'll be enlightened.
You'll be the white man
can't
never do
that. No, it can't do a damn thing to you. You will be infused. You will be armored. You'll be fortified.
Yeah.
You know?
You'll be on a whole different level. And
exactly.
It's right there. He got the information.
Right
it's
there.
It's right there.
Yeah.
But these crazy Negroes, they don't want it, Oshie.
Yeah, I hear you.
They don't want it.
I hear you. Let me catch this other call. Let me catch this other call.
Have a good day.
All right, Brother
Put
Jay.
On you.
All right. Peace to you, brother. 404. Right. 404. Good afternoon. 404.
Brother Oshie, can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead.
This is Brother Richard.
Hey, Richard, how you doing, man?
Good. Man, I'm doing not too well. I'm doing very good. Thank
good,
you.
Good.
I just sent you an email about the program that we're going to have next Wednesday on Juneteenth.
Okay.
And I was trying to get on the program early enough so that at least you could put it out there and
okay.
Let people
well,
know
of course,
to
you,
the
well of course.
Museum.
Well, of course, you know, Wednesday is Juneteenth, and I'll be talking about it. So please come on the program on Wednesday, you know, to announce it, and we can talk about it, about what's going on. So give me a quick synopsis. Where is it going to be and what is it going to entail?
It's going to be at a museum called the Sights and Sounds Black Cultural Expo Museum.
Where is that located?
North DeKalb Mall.
Okay, North DeKalb Mall. Okay.
It's in one of the stores out there.
Okay.
He has a whole store, very nicely spread out museum.
Okay.
Mr. Horton, the proprietor, wanted to have a Juneteenth program. So he's going to have a young lady give a talk on Emmett Till.
Mm-hmm.
And because his other speaker didn't come through, I'm going to give a talk on the Emancipation Proclamation.
Okay. Okay.
And the program is from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
1 to 6. Okay. I'm going to try to make it out there as soon as I'm off the air. I'll try to make it out there. Are you going to try to be out to Juneteenth Day celebration at the Builders? What is that? Home Depot.
Behind the Home Depot.
Yeah, Home
I'm
Depot Park.
Get out there. Weekend. If I'm finished up with my work and whatnot, yeah, I intend to.
Yeah, because it's a free event. It's at Home Depot Park, which is right next to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. There is parking. I'm not sure if the parking is free. I doubt if the parking is free, but the event is free. Everything out there, all the entertainment that they're going to have, the parade they're going to have on tomorrow and so forth, all of it is free. So, yeah, come out and celebrate the Juneteenth. That is being offered this weekend, and truly, whatever is being offered on the day of Juneteenth, and I'll be out there to check that out at the North DeKalb Mall.
The North DeKalb Mall is called the Sights and Sounds Black Cultural Expo Museum.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's the first time I've heard of it. Yeah, who's running that? Who's presenting this?
Well, actually, my next door neighbor owns the museum.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay, then that's cool.
And he has different events throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
The Kwanzaa now and some other events.
Cool. Good.
During Black History Month, and he wanted to. Well, some people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess visitors asked him about doing a program for Juneteenth.
Okay.
His regular speaker didn't come through, mm-hmm. so he. Since I worked with him out at the museum sometime, he knows me and asked me if I'd fill in, and I told him sure.
Good. Right on, Richard. Good. Yeah.
I'm gonna be as gentle as I can, but you know, when you deal with the information, I know it's a lot of Black folks gonna get their feelings
sure.
hurt that day.
And then so be it. So, I mean, you know,
I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but the issue is the issue.
No, that's right. You know, sorry for your hurt feelings. The bottom line is this is the situation that we are in. And there is no, you know, straddling the fence. There's no gray area. This is it. And this is what must be done, you know, and that's it. That, you know,
that's what I agree.
You know,
too many of our children, Black and brown, are in the prison.
Yeah.
We have as many people in the prison today as there were
in captivity. That's right. They were enslaved. You're right.
In captivity in 1850.
Yeah. Yeah. And more to come. You know?
And more to come.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, my Negro Black folks praying to Jesus ain't fixing this.
No. Uh-uh. No. It was never designed to. And see, that's the mistake that we made. You know, we've accepted their theology. We accepted their theology, and it is antithetical to us and what we need to do as a people. It enslaves us. In fact, I like to say, you know, there's a piece that, where is that at? I'm looking for it right now. That said, here it is. That's voting. But it basically deals and says that, you know, I usually have it handy. Must have moved my notes. My grandson might have done that. But basically it is that you are confronted with the truth. You know the truth. You know that it's right there for you, but you still believe the lies. And that is a part of a mental captivity, a mental enslavement, because you know the truth is there, but you still believe the lies. You know, they got a hold on
you. And I'm going to do my job to help. I'm going to try to help plant that seed to see if we can help wake up our minds a little bit.
That's right. That's right. That's what we got to do, brother. That's what we got to do, Brother Rich. I appreciate it.
But I know it's 1 o'clock, not
okay.
late.
All right.
But I wanted to get this to you. I did send you the flyer, so
okay.
You should be getting it on your Gmail account.
Okay. I appreciate it.
And I'll holler back Monday.
Okay, please do.
Over the weekend.
Okay, have a good weekend, brother. Hope to see you at Juneteenth Day down at the Home Depot Park, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, brother.
Take
peace.
Care, brother.
We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend, whatever you do. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodio. Bibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahodio family, peace.